Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
The simple act of eating with our family, friends, or coworkers expands and reinforces our bonds with them. Study after study reveals the biological, psychological, and social benefits of sharing a meal. In the workplace, it boosts productivity and breaks down silos. In this episode of By Your Life, we talk about the transformative power of sharing a meal. Welcome to the 133rd episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hudeman, and I know that you have 100 different things that you could be doing right now. So I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In this Sunday's Gospel, Jesus tells the parable of the wedding feast, and I'd like to consider three things from this parable that have important implications for business and for life. The invitation, the feast, and the wedding garment. The French phrase RSVP is an initialism of Respondez s'il vous plaît, meaning please respond, and it's used to require confirmation of an invitation. It does not mean to respond only if you are coming. It does not mean to respond only if you are not coming. It does not mean to respond only if you're going to try to come. And it certainly doesn't mean to respond if you feel like responding. Regrets only is a modern variation of RSVP that implies if you do not reply, it will be assumed that you have accepted. It is amazing how many people do not know or do not care enough to follow these simple rules of etiquette. These days, in business and in our personal lives, technology has provided a simplified approach to facilitate a response when you're invited to a meeting or an event. All you have to do is click to accept, decline, or reply tentative. Given this convenience, however, doesn't mean that your invitees will be courteous enough to use it. Not replying is not only a discourtesy, it is unprofessional, a time waster, a productivity crusher, and a pet peeve of mine. It just goes to show you that technology can only facilitate communication. It cannot take the place of the people involved. People who don't use their calendars to block unavailability appear to be available when the meeting planner searches for an open time, even if they're not. People who decline without explaining leave the meeting planner wondering if they don't want to attend at all or if the time is not convenient. People who reply tentative without an explanation or without later confirming either acceptance or decline complicate matters by leaving the event planner guessing. People whose plans change and fail to decline a previously accepted invitation leave the attendees waiting for them at the meeting start time. And when an invitee is a mandatory participant, that is, will not be a productive meeting without him or her there, these behaviors create a significant drain on the productivity of all involved. There are special circumstances that prevent us from clicking a response to an invitation, But these situations represent only a small fraction of the total times we are asked to RSVP. In these cases, pick up the phone and call the person who's invited you. Explain the circumstances and together decide what the best next steps are. Otherwise, make a decision. And as Jesus said, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Make a decision, yes or no, and let that yes or no be your commitment. In the parable of the wedding feast, Jesus describes an enormously important invitation, one from the King, who is God our Father. Nothing in our lives compares to this invitation. God wants to feed his people, and all are invited. When God invites you, you don't say, no, I can't make it. Nothing matters more than this invitation and how you respond. In the parable, the king dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent out other servants. Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. We too refuse God's invitation to some degree and from time to time. One of the biggest examples of how we refuse God's invitation is reflected in mass attendance. According to a 2018 Gallup survey, from 2014 to 2017, only 39% of Catholics reported attending church in the previous 7 days. This is down 6 percentage points from the average of 45% from 2005 to 2008. And it represents a steep decline from 75% in 1955. While the bad news is that a minority of Catholics are weekly churchgoers, the good news is that the majority are still active and say they attend at least once a month, nearly weekly or weekly. This year, with churches closed to public mass for over 2 months because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the continued dispensation of the weekly mass obligation since they reopened, mass attendance has dropped significantly from pre-pandemic levels. Even with social distancing requirements in place, there is still room in the inn. According to the Pew Research Forum, of those Catholics who would typically attend mass at least monthly, 42% are watching online, only 11% are participating in person, and 21% have done both in person and online. But 26% are not participating at all. I acknowledge there are legitimate causes for concern for vulnerable populations that keep them away. But there are also those who have grown accustomed to watching Mass online in their PJs, if they participate at all. As my neighbor said to me last month, if my kids can go back to school, they should probably go back to Mass. So what gets in the way? Is work more important? Is your child's sporting event? Is it the option to just sleep in? Honestly, I can't tell you, because I was in line before the doors opened the first morning public Mass was celebrated at our parish again. I yearned to receive our Lord sacramentally in the Eucharist, and I cried when he was given to me. Why anyone who professes to be Catholic would stay away from the heavenly banquet offered here on earth is beyond me. As Bishop Barron said, we've all heard the invitation to enter into intimacy with the Lord, and we find the most pathetic excuses not to respond. Sure, as Vinnie Flynn points out in his book, Seven Secrets of the Eucharist, St. Thomas Aquinas explains that a complete spiritual communion can take place when we are unable to receive sacramentally, because the effect of a sacrament can be secured if it is received by desire. So we can receive the graces of the Eucharist by participating in the online celebration of the Mass, if we are spiritually disposed to receive these graces. St. Maximilian Kolbe explained, at times, spiritual communion brings the same graces as sacramental. But as Vinnie Flynn explains, that Kolbe isn't talking about instead of, But in addition to, true spiritual communion is always an anticipation or an extension of sacramental communion. Ideally, it is both. What is missing when we participate in the celebration of the Eucharist online is Christ's presence in the community of those who believe in Him who are gathered for the Eucharistic celebration. As Christians come together in one place as a Eucharistic assembly, at its head is Christ Himself. As Bishop Barron said in his homily for this week's readings, in the Mass, God comes to meet us, to gather us, to speak His word, and to feed us. At every Mass, we gather from different places, backgrounds, and points of view, but all in peace. We sing together in the harmonious raising of voices in common praise. I think we lose this sense of community when we celebrate Mass online. There is also great value in a shared meal in the workplace. When we eat alone at our desks, we miss out on the benefits of sharing a meal with our coworkers. According to a 2015 study published in the journal Human Performance and featured in the Harvard Business Review, when coworkers share a meal, it helps build camaraderie, fosters deeper work relationships, and boosts productivity. An article in U.S. News and World Report points out the benefits can extend beyond work groups because when we eat with someone from another department or grab coffee or tea, it is an important way to break down the silos that exist in an office. It can be a way to share different perspectives on company-wide goals or brainstorm solutions to challenges with someone from a different background who brings a different perspective. Families also benefit from eating meals together. Studies show that students who do not regularly eat with their parents are significantly more likely to be truant at school and to be overweight when compared to those who do. On the other hand, children who do eat dinner with their parents 5 or more days a week have less trouble with drugs and alcohol, eat healthier, show better academic performance, and report being closer with their parents than children who eat dinner with their parents less often. In the Middle Eastern culture, there is an ancient belief that dining together comes with an oath, never to kill the fellow diner. That's why, in September of 1993, when Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat, the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, met together with President Bill Clinton at the White House, the two sworn enemies shook hands, but they absolutely refused to dine together. Almost 30 years later, we are still seeking peace in the Middle East. But let's not forget, the meal Jesus talks about in his parable is not just any feast, but a wedding feast. As Bishop Barron said, Jesus in himself is the wedding of heaven and earth, and we are invited to join in the joy of this union. You are proposed as the bride to this groom. This is the proposal of Christianity, a most extraordinary opportunity, and to miss this is to miss everything and would be insulting to the King. So how do you respond to this invitation? And what should you wear? Things have changed culturally in the workplace since I began my professional career. The introduction of casual Fridays has morphed into wear whatever, whenever, in many workplaces. Despite different cultural norms in different work environments, and without advocating any one style, I believe in wearing something neat, clean, comfortable, and appropriate, because how you dress reflects an inner disposition. And this is what Jesus tells us in the parable. He lets us know that saying yes to the invitation and coming to the feast is not enough. He said, when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, my friend, how is it that you came here without a wedding garment? But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, bind his hand and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. The wedding garment represents a repentance and a change of heart and mind that is the condition for entrance into the kingdom. Saying yes to the invitation means we must clothe ourselves in a life of good deeds. The Christian who lacks the wedding garment of good deeds will suffer the same fate as those who have rejected Jesus. By our good deeds, by loving our neighbor as ourselves, we experience the joy that God intends for us, the joy of heaven on earth. Let's pray for a change of heart and mind for all our who invited to the feast. Matthew Kelly has a beautiful prayer for transformation. Let's pray it together. Loving Father, here we are. You made us for more than we are right now. We trust that you have an incredible plan for us. Transform us. Transform our lives. Everything is on the table. Take what you want to take and give what you want to give. Transform us into the people you created us to be, the very best versions of ourselves, so we can live the lives you have envisioned for us. We hold nothing back. We make ourselves 100% available to you. Lead us, guide us, and show us what it is that you are calling us to. Then fill us with the courage and the grace to do it. Amen. And may God bless you abundantly this week, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do. Forward, share, or click to post on our website at byyourlife.com. Or check out the resources page where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback or leave a comment.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seeing the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.